This is Deanna Reich, and this is Cut to the Chase.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 45, Car Confessions. This is your host, Gregory Proctor, and today we've got a very exciting guest that the reason why we came up with the title Car Confession is because she is the pioneer. She is the originator of the car confession. And so what we're going to talk about today regarding our special guest, as I give you guys a little bit of backstory about car confession, our special guest, we find that she's a regional business development manager. She's also served as a market sales recruiter. Her mission has been helping mortgage loan originators have great mental life, family value, healthy life, social life, work life, and spiritual life. She believes that originators can have it all. She's talented in helping loan originators discover what they need as humans and help them find their home. She's a wife. She's a mother. She's a dog mom. She's one of four daughters born in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. She enjoys the great outdoors. She enjoys reading books. She enjoys doing podcasts. She enjoys obstacle course racing. She often does awkward dancing, which we're going to dive into just a little bit of that. She's also a runner. She participates in quite a bit of different physical activities. I see here something along the lines of becoming a ninja warrior. She earned her master's degree in education. She's a teacher for a short time and then jumped right into door-to-door sales. She moved to St. Augustine in 2011 on a whim and attracted to the history, which that's another thing we're going to dive into. Opened a door for her of recruiting, and since then she's been in recruiting sales professional ever since. So she served as a regional business development manager. She's also served as a national business development manager. She served as recruiting consultant, executive recruiter, sales and management. She holds, as I said earlier, a master's in education, comprehensive education and reading, and a bachelor's of science from a bachelor's of science from Western Carolina University. Overall, to our listeners, she is the car confession pioneer. Yes, woo! She is. She is the lady. And so, without further ado, as I wrap up here in my final accolades about our special guest, and I give her a proper introduction, Deanne basically is an awesome, awesome person. She is full of energy, people, full of energy. And I love it. It's infectious. And so, Deanna, what do you have to say?
That was quite an introduction. Can I bring you along as my hype man every time I make a cold call?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. We can work out a deal on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's kind of jump right into this. We're going to talk about car confessions and basically I want to bring the audience up to speed. So car confessions is something that I saw Deanna do on LinkedIn. I don't know. This has been going on for, I don't know, Deanna, how long have you been doing car
confessions? About 2 years.
About 2 years, 2 years. And so only a few months back when I was starting to really engage with Deanna, I saw that she has this gorgeous dog, and she had this dog and she was talking, and the dog would kind of be saying, okay, mommy, you know, what are we going to talk about today? As the camera was going on the phone. And I was like, wow, this is the most awesome thing. And so I made a comment. I made a response. I said, you know what? This is wonderful. I said, this is like car confessions. You know, I said, this needs to be a podcast. And since then, it's always been for me to try to figure out how can I actively engage in an opportunity with you to bring about some memorable moments with car confessions on our podcast, Cut to the Chase. And so now our listeners know how we connected, and you know, it's been a joy.
Thank you. Yes. I'm so excited to hear the final result of the week of all those people that you interviewed.
Well, I'm glad that you asked that question, because, you know, obviously I wanted to make this as fun as we possibly can since it is car confession. And so I'm going to start out by confessing that we did hit our goals. I mean, there was 15 podcasts in 5 days. Today, you are the last podcast that we're going to record that closes out that record. Absolutely. We reached out to the Guinness Book of World Record. They're supposed to be getting back with us to find out if that is even a category. If not, we're going to look at trying to create that category, particularly for all the podcasts that are being created worldwide. We think it's something pretty phenomenal. But, you know, just lo and behold, my confession to you would be is that, man, it was a lot of work. My team has been taxed this week with keeping it exciting and keeping the energy levels high. And so, you know, we're blessed that this is the last one, because we're all going to pop the top on a nice bottle of champagne once this is all said and done.
Absolutely. You deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's jump kind of into the podcast. So you were born in Oak Ridge. And as those that may not know Oak Ridge, Tennessee very much, for me, I know it quite well because I spent a lot of time there working at one of the Department of Energy facilities called Y-12. And so tell us, you know, what was it like growing up there in Oak Ridge?
Well, people that grow up in Oak Ridge glow in the dark. I don't know if you know this.
Well, that's why you got so much energy, right?
Yes. And so interesting. I did not know that you spent some time in Oak Ridge. My dad actually was a scientist at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. He was with them for 37 years.
Yes.
So growing up in Oak Ridge wasn't like the typical Tennessee type of growth. I mean, you had, you know, the lakes and, you know, we had a lot of outdoor times, but it wasn't as country as people would think Tennessee would be. Mm-hmm. Even though the country does come out when I'm around other people from Tennessee, but there was just something a little different about that area because people came from all over to work at the laboratories and the education was amazing. I had a lot of my teachers had their PhD. Mm-hmm. So my standard of education from the beginning was at a very high level. And I really feel like going into college, that helped. I feel like college became, you know, kind of difficult my junior and senior year. Freshman, sophomore year, I just felt like, oh, this is just like high school. And so that was just a really unique experience that, you know, we gained because the city attracted people that were, you know, thought leaders and educate, you know, people that are education driven. And so just very glad about that. Now, what was neat about growing up in Oak Ridge is because it just was this, you know, eclectic, you know, like no, there's people that were from there, but a lot of people moved into the city to be there. So my upbringing, I mean, in high school and stuff, I saw that there was like kind of cliques, but kind of not, you know, it wasn't like, to me, I just felt like everyone kind of blended together. I did sports, but I also hung out with, you know, all walks of life there. It was a unique experience. So I'm glad I grew up in Oak Ridge.
Yeah,
we had a great football team too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Tennessee Volunteers. I mean, I've gone to a couple of those games there as well. But certainly you're spot on. I mean, you know, my background primarily through running my management consultancy firm, you know, we've worked at all nuclear sites here in the U.S. And, you know, a lot of people are like, Greg, you know, no wonder you're so loco. But you know, when you're dealing with the government, when you're dealing with other people's money, particularly a lot of these EPC contractors that work on these large multi-billion dollar jobs, you know, you have to bring your A game and you're spot on. You know, you deal with a group of eclectic people that are extremely, extremely smart in physicists and nuclear energy and just all types of scientific things. And basically for me, it was always something that I aspired to do. And it's carried me thus far in life. And actually, we're working on a nuclear project right now. I won't disclose where that is, but certainly it's very, very, very much interesting times. So we're going to dive into you moved to St. Augustine in 2011, which is another area that you and I connected up on, because my ex-wife's family is there, and I know I spent a lot of time down there for many, many years. So let's talk a little bit about St. Augustine. I find St. Augustine, like you said, you know, you were attracted to the history. You know, I don't know about our listeners, but if I recall correctly from my history, St. Augustine is one of the oldest cities in the U.S. Is that correct?
Yep, it's the oldest established city. So established in 1565, and it's still the city of St. Augustine.
Yes, yes, yes. And very beautiful, lots of seafood, lots of cultural, just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place to be. And so, you know, how long did you live there while you were in St. Augustine?
So, okay, here's the timeline. So moved here in 2011. And really the kicker was I was in line for fudge and there were some locals in front of me. And the person I was with, I was talking about how excited I was to have pumpkin fudge. And the people in front of me turned around and they did one of those, you know, things where they buy two fudges, get one free at Kilwin's. And they gave me their extra pumpkin fudge. And they said, "Welcome to St. Augustine. This place is wonderful." And and that was what made me decide to move there. So that was in November. I ended up moving here that late December. And I've been there ever since. So I've been here since 2011.
Oh, wow. 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 Well, that's great. Outstanding. Outstanding. So we're going to do something a little bit different with this podcast because we want to keep it hyped up. We want to keep energy going. And this is all about confessions, right? So you've been doing car confessions for 2 years. And I think you've had all different types of episodes that you've represented with car confessions. And I think even the last one was where you broke your heel. You were coming out of a...
Yes. Because I went to 96 businesses when I did B2B sales because I was so determined to hit production. But again, I was not focusing on quality. I was just focusing on, okay, if I hit these many businesses, it equals business rather than just focusing on just the quality conversations along the way. So I broke my shoe.
Right. Yeah. And that was quite an interesting car confession, if I recall. And I think I was like, wow, we're seeing a classic moment in time because in a lot of cases, and I've only been around my wife when she's broken her heel maybe once or twice. And particularly, I can recall one particular incident. We were in Vegas. I think we were seeing the J-Lo concert. It actually wasn't my wife's heel. It was the lady in front of us that was on the escalator. And she had on a pair of, I don't know, maybe stilettos, red pumps, or whatever you call those. And as we're getting ready to get to the bottom of the escalator, you see the lady like come out of her shoes and basically fall forward almost. And I kind of grabbed my wife and she's like, "What's going on?" And I was like, you know, looks like her shoe got stuck. And sure enough, you got all these people coming out of the J-Lo concert, all trying to get down the escalator to get outside, get back onto the strip. And you've got a nice expensive pair of stiletto shoes that's kind of stopped the whole escalator from moving. So
oh my goodness. That is like every woman's nightmare when they dress up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 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 So you want to play the game? You want to play the question game with me? I mean, this is supposed to be like fun. All right. So since we're going to be talking about confessions, as everyone knows, you know, you've got confessionals where if you're Catholic, you go into the pew and you basically confess.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, of course, you know, if you are sitting behind, you know, should I say a detective and you got your hands cuffed to the table, you know, you're trying to confess your way to get out of whatever trouble you in. But we're going to make this fun because I think this is a great way to end something that has been just a major milestone for Cut to the Chase. I was glad that we were able to connect with you. Matter of fact, one of the stories that I want to share also is that you had made the suggestion to me earlier on. You said, you know, why don't I just be the last one? And I kept saying to myself, wait a minute. Let's get you on the schedule early. And now I see why, because of the energy. The energy is just, it's just there, right? So here we go. We're going to jump into the questions, right? So here's the first question. We got about 13. We got about less than 10 or 12 minutes to get through these. I think we can do it.
Yes,
so
we can.
Here we go. All right. So confession. When was the last time you told a lie? Uh-oh.
It probably was right before I came up here because I told my son I'll be right back. But I will. But in his mind, he thinks that's a few minutes. But really, I'm coming up here to do a podcast.
Right.
But no, to give a better answer, that's a good question because a lie doesn't really come straight to my mind. So that's a good sign.
Very good.
That's a good sign. So I guess I'll get a little deep with you.
Okay, go ahead.
I think the most recent lie that I had was to myself. It was on Wednesday. One of my friends and I that works with Movement with me decided to get on a Zoom call together and then do calls back and forth so we could listen and help each other. Mm-hmm. And the lie that I told myself going into the calls was, oh yeah, I nailed the, or after I finished the calls, I was like, I did an awesome job. Mm-hmm. But really, on a lot of the calls, I didn't ask for the next step. And my colleague, Chris Barnes, so kindly said, hey, here's a suggestion. And I just remember thinking in my head, I was, you know, you do that sometimes, like your ego comes in and you want to pump yourself up because you're trying to self-preserve. And I remember at first I was like, ooh, you were so right. I was lying to myself. So that would probably be the most recent time. And so since then, it's like I had to write down the closing phrase, because it's just, you know, when you're working with people that don't say yes right away, because that's, you know, that's the name of the game in recruiting, is the first call, you're never really trying to recruit them right then. You're trying to build a relationship. It's still effective though to do that trial close and ask for the next step. So I lied to myself.
Understood. Mm-hmm. So next question is, what was your least favorite thing about your best friend?
Well, my best friend is living with me during COVID because she used to live in New York and she needed sanctuary.
Yeah.
So yeah. The first thing I noticed is she sometimes nitpicks.
Right.
So for example, this is so funny. I hope she listens to this. You know, I have a kid now and I'm still trying to navigate how to actually keep a clean house. And so, you know, she's living here now. Yeah. And I had put the recycles on top of the recycle material on top of the dryer. And usually we either put it in a bag or take it out back. And so she walks back and she just sees some trash hanging out on the dryer. And she just goes, oh, is this what we do now? And it just made me so mad. But I made a joke about it.
Right.
But then that was like, you know, I know what she was trying to say. And yeah, the answer is, yeah, I don't have it all together. Deal with it.
Yeah. That's reasonable. That's reasonable. So here we go. We're going to go into the next question.
All right.
If you ever committed a crime for whatever reason, what would it be?
Oh, man. I can't tell you my first thought.
This is confession. This is confession. Come on. It's confession.
But it's so inappropriate.
Well, hey, now we got kids listening to our program now. Come on.
Okay. So my very first thought, because I think this is hilarious, is I'd wear a disguise, but I think streakers are hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that would be it. Yeah. And do we have time for a short story? I can check to share a funny story that involves streakers.
Go ahead.
So track, I had conference meet the next day. I had two awesome guy roommates and unfortunately they didn't make the travel squad. So they were sad. And so they decided to party that night. But they knew to keep, like, not party at the house, you know, because I had to sleep. I had to go to the conference the next day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 3 a.m, I hear giggling and the sound of, like, it sounded like 300 men were inside our apartment.
Right.
And so I opened the door to yell at them. And there I see half the men's cross country team, like basically the ones that didn't make the travel squad, completely naked.
Wow.
Laughing because they decided to go streaking.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, y'all need to get out of here. I got to go to sleep. And then it was so sweet because the next morning I found it because I had my food cover. They all wrote me an apology letter and wished me well in my race.
Yeah, that was nice. That was really nice.
I was also secretly jealous because I guess that's the crime I've always wanted to do.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly if you ran cross country, because I ran cross country in high school, and also ran on the Navy track team, you know, it takes a serious mindset to make sure you're getting out of bed and training and doing all the things you're supposed to do to stay kind of halfway in the competitive pack of being elite, you know. And I can certainly relate to that. All right, so we're going to jump right into the next couple questions. So here we go. Have you ever cried from watching a TV show or movie?
Absolutely. I cry on commercials. Yes. Confession right now, I'm rewatching Glee because I feel so sad about what happened to the actress. And I just wanted to revisit the show. And I probably cry every episode. That show is touching.
Wow. All right. We can respect that one. What would you do with $1 million?
I would make a list of how I'd want to distribute it. So okay. That would be the selfless thing, you know, family members that would need something. My husband, his family, they're part of an organization called Neighbor to Neighbor, where they work with the Latin community. They help them really just work their way into society after getting, passing through immigration. There's also a nonprofit that my sister-in-law works for called Justice Matters, and they really do a ton in the Raleigh area to help prevent and stop human trafficking. So that would kind of be the first, the selfless, like, let's have stuff go there. Mm-hmm, and then the fun place is, once it is safe to travel, I would go back to Europe and I would just have a blast, and I would get a bicycle in every country and just ride around the town and have a blast.
Cool, 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 cool. Well, I can definitely, sign me up on the plane when you do win, so I can go back to Europe with you. I love that place.
Right? One of my favorite biking adventures is, I was in Hoofddorp, which is this town outside of Amsterdam. I think it was about 11 miles outside of Amsterdam. And my husband and I, we just packed snacks and booze, and we just biked through the city, or through the countryside, and we made our way back. And we went to Harlem. So Harlem in the Netherlands is actually how Harlem in New York is modeled after. Mm-hmm, and Harlem was so cool because, again, it was just this beautiful city and one person spoke English. So it was just really cool to try to make our way around and then also order food and, just know that we have to find a new way to communicate other than using our language.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, certainly as many countries as I've lived in, and certainly I only speak maybe 1.5 aspects of anything outside of English. So I only knew like enough words in some of the countries I lived in prior to keep myself out of trouble.
Yeah.
All right. So next question. What is the most embarrassing thing that your parents have caught you doing? Uh-oh.
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, the answer I have may not be, let me think, like, if I could think of something more fun. Yeah, this is not as fun, but this is the only one I can think of at this moment. So I was quote unquote the good kid. Little do they know, I also threw the best parties. And because I was a good kid, my parents would go out of town and leave the house. Mm-hmm. And so one time I got caught because when my friends were helping me clean up and restock the beer in the downstairs fridge, they accidentally stocked it with Heineken rather than the Miller Lite.
Ooh.
And what was great though is I had a reduced grounding sentence because my parents were grateful that they got a Heineken over Miller Lite.
Oh, wow. That worked out in your favor. Look at that, man.
Yes. I wish I had something cooler than that, but that's the only thing I can think of at this moment.
Wow, wow, wow. All right, so here's a good one, and I've been dying to ask you this question because of the simple fact of car confessions. When was the last time you completely lost it?
Ooh, that's a great one. It was the day before Easter with my best friend Maggie, the one that's living with us right now. And I don't even remember the trigger, but it was just a buildup. And it was also what was happening in the world. And we were on a run together and I just flipped out. And then I did that thing where you run away and then you send mean text messages.
Right.
Because you can't say it to their face.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that was terrible. And then I told her boyfriend that he needs to tell her that everything I texted wasn't real and she needs to delete all of it because I regretted it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but I was cruel. So,
yeah.
But hey, we're okay now. We're best friends.
That's good. Sometimes, those things have to happen. I know my brother and I, we have our, as we call it, tit for tat. But, we still love each other. And when it gets right down to it, family's family, friends are friends, and are always going to be there to support you throughout. So next question. We've got like three more to go through, and I think we're on perfect timing.
We got
it. So if you could have someone else's life for one day, who would that be?
Can I tell you the first thought that came to my brain? And then I'll also give you an educated one.
The first thought
was my dog.
I thought you would kind of say that. Your dog
is Muppet is the best life.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's cool in your videos. I mean, he's absolutely on point in your videos. Yeah.
Well, and I also want to know what he's thinking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's kind of like my shadow. And so I'm like, is he thinking, you know, nice things about me, or is he thinking, you know, I better follow master? Like, I'm curious. But no, to give you an answer that's more educated. So one person's life for one day. Oh. Oprah.
Wow.
Because I recall as a kid, my mom watching Oprah. And then I had a revisit to Oprah when I was having, I call it postpartum anxiety, because I just feel like Oprah is just always a good place. She's like the original. Uh-huh. And so I just I would love to see what her life is like, to see who she engages with and who the people around her are like, because she's around some cool people, because she's an amazing person.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we're going to wrap up the best question for you, because this has been so much fun. So much fun. You just have no idea. I wanted to have some just energy right at the very end of a 15 episode segment. And I'm just like, this is just, wow. You know, I'm like ready to go drink some Pisco, and I'll explain to you what that is later. But anyway, here's my last question. Name one thing on your bucket list.
Run with the Bulls.
Run with the Bulls.
Absolutely. My husband did it when he was 16. I want to go run it with him.
Wow. Wow. Impressive. Quite impressive. Quite impressive. Well,
yeah,
Deanna.
I already knew that one.
Deanna, this has been great. I mean, perfect title, perfect person to interview, perfect energy. I mean, what are some of the things you'd like to leave our listeners with? Any takeaways?
Yes. Yes. So the reason why I started Car Confessions is because I recall when I first got into sales, I found myself thinking, when I'm in the future, I'm going to be that person that speaks all of this wisdom. And then flash forward 10 years or 15 years or however long I've been doing sales, I realize I don't have to be someone that has had 30 plus years of experience to give some kind of wisdom. All I have to do is get vulnerable and talk about times when I messed up and teach what I did to not mess up, because there's always someone that's listening that could take from that. And so the piece I guess I would want to deliver is, if you really want to be connected to people and have, I don't know, just be more human, every time you engage with someone, try to confess something about you in some way and get vulnerable with them, because that is how you'll make them feel comfortable enough to open up with you, and you can actually really connect as human beings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Certainly can't agree with you more. I mean, that was just a beautiful way of wrapping this segment up. And so with less than 1 minute to go, I'd just like to say, Deanna, this is episode 45, Car Confessions. This has been a joy. I'm reaching out. I'm giving you my big virtual hug, because I know this is going to go down in a moment.
Back.
That's right. A big moment in history for us. And hey, I look forward to more Car Confessions. I look forward to us staying in contact with one another, continuing to network and just prosper and be friends. And this has been a blast. I mean, this has absolutely been a blast for me.
Yes. So, thank you.
So definitely thank you very much. And you have a wonderful day. To our listeners, to our followers, to everyone, we have succeeded.
Woo-hoo! Woo! Cut to the chase. We did it.
We did it. 15 episodes in 5 days. We thank everybody. Be safe out there. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.